Sukkah daf hey amar alef tosfos derei maschil yud kei milamala. The Gemara in this discussion concerning the exact height of the kaporis, so the top of the Aron Kodesh, brought up the width of the tzitz and quoted a braisa saying that the tzitz was 2 etzbos wide, but it also described in detail how the words Kodesh Lashem, which the Torah says were inscribed in the tzitz, how exactly they were written. It quotes two different opinions. One that Yud K was Lamala, the Shem Hashem was Lamala, and Kodesh Le, because it said Kodesh Lashem, so Kodesh Lamed was Lamata, below, and the Yud K was Lamala. And another opinion that it was all written in one line. So Tosis has a tangential discussion about how the Gemara could write this phrase of Yud K. It didn't say K, it said it with a He, so it seems seemingly spelling out Hashem's name. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells us in the Sadi, that Ahoga Shem Be'osiosa Vein Lo Chelak Olam Haba. They're not allowed to spell out the name of Hashem. So how then could the Gemara spell out the name of Hashem? Because Yud K is one of the Shemus of Hashem. Ko. So Tosis answers that question. Afal Pi, Tosis reads, She Yud K Shem Gomor. But even though the Shem Ko, as in Muhammad Hashem Ba'molek, Kiyar al Kays Ka, that the Shem Yud K is, even though it's also half a Shem of Yud K Vav K, but it's also a Shem in and of itself. It's one of the seven names that are not allowed to be erased, as explained in the Gemara in Shavuos. So, Tosa's implicit question is that even though it's a Shem, so if indeed it's a Shem Gomer, so how could the Gemara spell it out? Either in a written way, or presumably since the Gemara was given over orally, so this teaching was presumably taught that way, with spelling out the letter Yud followed by the letter He. So isn't that a problem of spelling out Hashem's name, which is Asur, Alpi, the Gemara, and the Mishnah, Sanhedrin? Avopish Yud Kei Shem Gomor, so Tosis answers, Ein Zahog Hashem Bosioso. That's not considered pronouncing Hashem's name or spelling out all the letters. In Maskir Shteosius, just if he only mentions two letters, Kevin the Ainam Maskirim, the Shame, Shame Shalim. Because you're not saying it for the sake of the full name. If you had in mind, presumably, to spell out the Shame Yud K, then you wouldn't be able to spell out those letters for real with the Yud followed by the letter, the real letter Hey. But if you intend to spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei, the four-letter name of Hashem, which is the case over here, because that is what was written on the Tzit Kodesh Lashem, with the four-letter Shem Havaya, so then just by saying the two letters Yud Kei, that's not considered Hoga Shem Bosioso. Sounds like from Tosis that it depends on your Kavana, that if your intent is to spell out a full Shem, then you do so, then it's Aser. But if you spell out all the letters of the Shem, if your intent is to spell out a full shame and you only mention two letters of that shame, even though that happens to also be a shame Hashem, that that's not Aser. So Tzfas Emes discusses how Tosis knew that. Well, it shouldn't be something like a psik resha. But the bottom line, it is a shame of Hashem. It quotes Matosis and Avodah Zarah that sounds like that. That it would be Aser. But that seems to be what Tosis is saying here, that in Hoga Shem Bosi Osav, it's only Aser if you intend to spell out the whole shame, and you spell out the whole shame, but if you intend to talk about a whole shame, and you only spell two letters of it, even those two letters are also a shame, it's not us. Tosfos gives another answer, v'od, ahog shame bosiosov, that concept as prohibited in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, that Tamu spells out the shame Hashem, pirish b'kontris, shedorish osio shel shame ben arboim u'shtayim. That you're not only saying the letters, but you're darshaning the letters of the holy 42-letter name of Hashem, which is some secret name. Ba'afu pikein is harem b'kol ha-shemus. So Tosfos concludes that even if that Rashi is correct, but the minhag ha'olam is to be nizhar in all the shemus of Hashem, not to spell out the letters directly, which is where the minhag, which I was going with throughout the description of this Tosfos, is not to say yud followed by the letter hey, but yud k or yud k vav k. And that is our practice. The Rashi, the Tosfos quotes, is referring to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which is quoted on the margin. To see there other Tosfos in that deal with the same topic. It speaks about Chananya ben Trajan, who was one of the Asara Rugi Malchus and was taken out to be killed. And the Gemara says, why did Hashem Yisbarach allow the Romans to kill him? So the Gemara says, because he improperly was Hoga Shem Bosi Yosef. So the Gemara says, how could he have done that? And the Gemara concludes that even though he was doing it l'slamed in order to teach and to learn, it was still considered inappropriate to do that publicly. So what exactly did he do? So Rashi explains what Tosas quotes Rashi here as saying, that he was Doresh, the letters of one of the secret names of Hashem, the shame of the 42 letters. Sounds like from the Rashi that just to spell out the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, even with saying the Hayes, would not be usher, and that would be a simple solution to our problem that Tosas raised, to how the Gemara could say Yud Kei, and why it's not a problem of Hoga Shem Bosi Yosef. Tosas the Ramaskel Kodesh Lamed Milamata. Again, the Gemara had stated that from a brisa that the Tana Kama holds that the way the words Kodesh Hashem are written on the tzitz is that a quote Hashem, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, was written on the top line, and Kodesh Le, Kodesh Lamed, were written on the bottom line. So Tosas elucidates exactly how they were written. Kodesh Lamed Milamata says Tosas Yesh Mefarshim, some explain Lamata Mamish, Zeh Lamala Mizeh, the Pshuto Kemashmo, quite literally, they were under each other. The Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Hashem, was up top on the first line, and under that, totally, was Kodesh Le. So Tosas says, V'lo Mestaver, that explanation is not logical. Dein Zeh K'derech Kriyaso. It's not the normal way to read it. How are you going to connect those two ideas? It's Yud Kei Vav Kei on top and Kodesh Le. How are you going to know to read it as Kodesh Lashem, which ultimately is the message of the tzitz? Eli Yesh Lefarish, rather, one should interpret it as follows. Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh. It wasn't literally Hashem's name on top of the Kodesh Le, but Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei was on the top line and Kodesh Le was on the bottom line, but Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh. Kodesh Lamed B'tchila Shita Tachtona. Kodesh Le was on the bottom line to the right. B'shem B'sov Shita Elyona. And the name Yud Kei Vav Kei was on the top, but to the left. So even though normally you write on one line, which indeed is the other opinion in the Braisa that he found in Rome, such as it's, but the Tana Kama in the Braisa maintains that out of Kodesh Hashem is supposed to be on the upper line, but it's still able to be read because the Kodesh Le was to the right of the bottom line and the Yud Kei Vav Kei was to the left of the upper line, so you could still read it as one phrase, Kodesh Hashem. Since the next Taisus, Divya Maslo Miskarte Lamata Hoysa, is rather involved and requires a lot of introductions and elaborations, we're going to do the Taisus after that on this recording and have a separate recording for that long Taisus Miskarte. Bottom Taisus on Hayamad Aleph, Taisus Divya Maskil, Al Yechiech Tzitz Vizer, Shaloi Nosna Behem Torah Mida. To recall the Gemara, in the final analysis of the first approach as to how we know the Kaporos was a Tefach, says that we learn it from the Mesgeres of the Shulchan, Mesgeres Tofach, which was a Tefach thick, so too, or high, so too for the Kaporos. And we don't learn from the Tzitz, even though that was smaller, and the Gemara assumed we should learn from the Pachashe B'Kelim. We don't learn from the Tzitz, which was two etzbos, the plate on the Kohen's head, which said Kodesh Hashem, nor from the Zer, the little crown, which was just a mashu that was on top of the Shulchan, the Aron, and the Mizbeach HaZahav, because the Torah didn't specify the measurements of the Tzitz and the Zer, and it did specify the measurements in the Mizgeres that it was a Tefach. So therefore we derive from that which the Torah directly specified to shed light on the Kaporos, which it didn't specify, and we don't learn from that which the Torah didn't specify. So Tosis first has a comment. How could the Gemara here state that Tzitz and Zer was not specified by the Torah in terms of their measurements? But earlier it said that the Tzitz was two etzbos wide, as we mentioned before. So Tosas answers, Ein ze ele midrabanan. That measurement of two etzbos is only midrabanan, and therefore the Torah, the Gemara correctly states that lo nasta behem Torah mida, that the Torah didn't specify its measurements, rather the rabbi specified the measurements. Now, where did the Rabbanan get this measurement of two etzbos from?
So it's explained, Mishim Dechsiv al Mitzcho, that the Torah says in Parashat Tzaveh that the purpose of the tzitz was to have it on the forehead of Aaron HaKohen, al Mitzcho, and the subsequent Kohanim Gedolim, Shir Mitzcho, the size of the forehead, Ustam Meitzach, an average forehead is Roch HaShtei Etzbos, is two Etzbos in height, so hence the tzitz, which is supposed to be on the forehead, is to its boss. But the shir is a shir derabanan, their assessment of what would make sense to fit the meitzach, the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. So now, in light of that, Tosis now goes into somewhat of a tangent about the Shita Sariva, one of the Balei HaTosfos, concerning where the tzitz was placed. Umiyo, however, Riva Mefarish, Hatzitz Hayamunach Berosh, that the tzitz was not placed on the forehead, it was actually on the head itself of the Kohen Gadol, similar to Tefillin Shel Rosh. So what's the meal, however, Tosis is contrasting, that if, according to the simple reading of the Psukim, that the tzitz was on the Meitzach, on the forehead, then we understand where the Chachamim developed this shear from, because they were measuring the average forehead. But according to the Riva, that the tzitz was on the head of the Kohen Gadol, on top. So where would the measurement of two etzbos come from? Clearly it can't be measured from the average size of a tzitz, of a meitzach, of a forehead, because it wasn't on the forehead. So it can't be the average size of a head, because a head is clearly more than two etzbos. So Tos doesn't explain where the Riva gets that shear from. So presumably the Riva will have to hold something along the lines of what's stated by the Sfas Emes here, who actually asks on the first approach of Tosfos, that why didn't Tosfos say that the shear of Tuatz Bos, even though it's not explicitly said in the Torah Shel Chasav, is a halacha l'moshe misina? So it could be that that's exactly what the Riva holds, that the shear, the size of Tuatz Bos, is a halacha l'moshe misina. But it's not explicit in the Torah Shebichsav, and that's what's meant by the Gemara when it says Shalom Nasal Behem Torah Mida, that the Torah Shebichsav didn't give a measurement to it. And therefore, when we're seeking out the measurement of the unknown height of the Kaporis, we seek out the measurement that the Torah Shebichsav explicitly stated, rather than something that was just given over as Halacha Moshe Mishinai. So it could very well be that the first opinion holds the Rabbanan, and the second opinion, that of the Riva, that is contrasted with the first opinion, actually holds that it is Halacha Moshe Mishinai, like the Sfas Emes. Okay. So now Tosfos explains what motivated the Riva to say that the tzitz was on top of the head of the Kohen, in approximately the area where the tefillin go, rather than on the Meitzach, since the Pasuk does say Meitzach, which directly should imply that it was on the forehead. The Tosfos explains, just to start from Amir Riva. Amir Riva Mefarish Hatzitz Hayemunach Berosh. However, the Riva explained that the tzitz was placed on the head of the Kohen. Mishim Dekasha Lei, because he had the following difficulty. Maishna Gabi Kohen Gadol Dekra'o Mitznefes. Why, concerning, what's the difference that concerning the Kohen Gadol, the Torah refers to his hat, which was a turban. One of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol was called Mitznefes, Kedichsiv, the Pasuk says in Parashas Tetzaveh, Perkoftes, the Samtah Mitznefes, Al Rosho, referring to the Kohen Gadol. Uchsiv, Parashas Achrimos, Perkoftes Zayin, concerning the Avoda of Yom Kippurim, where the Kohen Gadol didn't serve with eight garments, but he served with four garments of Bigdei Lavan, of Mitznefes Bad Yitznof, again mentioning the mitznefes of linen, referring to it as a mitznefes. And similarly, not only in the language of the Torah, but also in the Gemara, v'amar perakama de gittin, of Zayin Amar Aleph, bizman sheh mitznefes berosh kohen gadol, tehei atara berosh kol adam. The context of that Gemara is the Gemara seeking out the source for why the crowns on top of a chassan were banned post-Churban. Chassanim used to wear crowns to the wedding, and it was banned by the Chachamim. So Rav Chisda stated that there's a remez from the Psukim concerning that particular ban. It goes to Pasuk in Yecheskel, It states, Kol Mar Hashem Elokim, Haseram Etz Nefes, V'Hareim Ha'atara. That times of the exile, so the Mitznefes is going to be removed, and the crown, the Atara, also will be lifted up, meaning it will be removed. So, Al Pidrash, Rav Chisda explains that Haseram Mitznefes, that when the Kohen Gadol's Mitznefes is removed, so then Chassin's Atara, crown, also has to be removed. Lefi Pshuto, as Rashi explains, it's referring to the hat of the Kohen Gadol and the crown of the king, of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, whose reign ended at the time of the Churban. Lefi Midrasha, it's referring to the crown of the Chassin. That, and in the language of Tosis, quoting that Gemara in Gittin, Bizman Shem Mitznefes Berosh Kohen Gadol, Tehei Atara Berosh Kaladam. When the Kohen Gadol is wearing a Mitznefes, meaning when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so then there could be a crown in the head of everybody, meaning the Chasanim. Implying, of course, that when there's no Mitznefes on the head of the Kohen Gadol, because it's a time of Churban, no Golos, so then there's no crowns on the Chasanim. But relevant to us is that the hat of the Kohen Gadol is being referred to as Mitznefes, both by the language of the Torah and the language of the Gemara. Of Kohen Hajid, The Tosfos continues the name of the Riva, Kara Migbos, the hat or the turban of the regular Kohen is referred to as a Migbas, in plural Migvot, Kedachsiv, again a Parshat Tzave. So the gears we have a Sisal and Migvot, on the margin they change it to the correct text of Umigbaos Taselahem, same difference, just the order of words changing. So it's called a mikbat. So the fact that they're called by different names directly implies that they must have a different shape. Levadai, the Riva continues, Mishuno so yuzom izol, that they were distinct from each other in appearance. How so? So here's where the tzitz comes in. The shel kohen hejid gedola mishel kohen gadol. That of an ordinary kohen was bigger than that of a kohen gadol, and the reason being because of the tzitz. She had tzitz hayadocha osa. Because the tzitz would have to push away the space where the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol could fit. V'chein ha-tfilin. The Kohen Gadol wore tfilin. So he had to have the tfilin on and the tzitz. Kedamrina perek sheni d'zvachim. As stated in the second verse of Zvachim, the Yud Tzimur Aleph. Se'oro hoyanira bein tzitz l'mitznefes. That the tzitz was in a certain place and the hat was further back. Mitznefes, and in between the hair was visible, and shesham meiniach tefillin, and that's where the Kohen Gadol would put his tefillin. So without the Riva, we would understand that the tzitz was on the forehead, and the mitznefes was a little recessed further back on the head, and there was just enough hair revealed to put the tefillin shel rosh. But according to the Riva, the tzitz was actually on the hair part of the Kohen Gadol, and then there was a space for the Tefillin shel Rosh, and then the Mitznefes. So the Mitznefes is being pushed back, not only by the Tefillin, which would be the standard shot, but also by the Tzitz. And again, the motivator for the Rivah to say this was the fact that they're called by different names. Rivah continues, the Kohen Hejid, Avagav Tehavalei Nami Tefillin, even though the Kohen Hejid also wore Tefillin, HaYachal Anicham, Amalkam Shek Kohen Gadol, Miniach Es HaTzitz. The Kohen Hejid didn't have a Tzitz, so he would be able to put the tefillin exactly at the edge of the hairline where the tzitz would go and not further recessed back on the head. And therefore, to wrap it up, his mikbas would be bigger than the Kohen Gadol's mitznefes. Turning the page of Tosfos, the yesh makom berosh sheroy laniach bo shnei tefillin kedaminam beperek bereish hamotzei tefillin and erev neftzali hemabes. And there's enough space on the head to put two pairs of tefillin because it goes from the end of the hairline till the area which is directly parallel to the ears where the baby's soft spot begins. So point of Tosfos is that not to worry if he says that the Kohen Gadol had the tzitz actually on the hairy area on his head, and the fact that the tefillin had to be behind that, because there's still place for tefillin shel rosh to be worn even if there's something else in the front, namely the tzitz. If the tzitz, again, according to the regular pshat, without the riva, would be on the forehead, so then the tefillin would be on the hairline. So, but now that it's backed up, so the Tosas has to say that there's, don't worry, there's a Kohen Gadol could still be yotzei tefillin shirosh, because there's enough space on the head to put two sets of tefillin. So the tefillin could be backed up a bit. So that's the Riva's opinion, and again, in the context of Tosas, showing that clearly the two etzbos that it sits is not based on the size of the Meitzach, because according to the Riva, it's actually on the head where the hair is. So now Tosas has to explain the fact that it says that it sits is worn on Meitzach, which simply speaking means forehead. So how could the Riva explain, even based on that kasha, of the difference between Megbas and Mitznefes, to invent this Chiddush that tzitzit was actually worn on the hairy part of the head? So it explains as follows. On the margin, they changed the girsa slightly in order to make it read more smoothly. Not umetargaminon, but hametargaminon. That even though it says Meitzach, which implies forehead, but the targum of that is not the direct word for forehead, but bene nohi, between the eyes. Now, between the eyes, of course, could theoretically mean forehead, right above the eyes. But Tosis further quotes similar expression that the tzitz was between the eyes. Raminam perka omer gabe yanei amelech hakein lehem betzitz shebeni necha. The Gemara was discussing a certain judgment they had concerning yanei amelech in the courts of Shem Meshetach. And he was acting in a very brazen way. And his chaverim were telling him to somehow lord it over the members of the Sanhedrin based on the fact that he's wearing a tzitz and he's the Kohen Gadol. So it refers to the tzitz as being bein einav or bein einecha, between his eyes. Again, that phrase is there. So what does that phrase, hai bein einecha, what does that mean? Tos explains, v'hai bein einecha, mashma kamo bein einecha, tachsiv gabi tefillin. We have a famous other bein einecha, v'ksharat malo tzal yotcha v'yul to tefos bein einecha. And we know what that means. That doesn't mean on the forehead. Tos explains, shakol begova shalrosh. That refers to being on the head itself, where the hair is. Hakol meaning both tefillin, where we have a special drasha for that, as well as the tzitz, where it says bein einecha, so it's in a certain sense a comparison to tefillin, a similar phrase, the assumption being when the Torah uses the term bein einecha, even though here the Torah used meitzach, but the Targum translated as bein einohi, and the Gemara used that term bein einecha, that all those bein einechas are similar. So Tosis subjects to that raya. Umiyu einam es yashiv kolkach. It's not so settled that that's the correct shot. We should be able to compare it to tefillin. Mishum the tefillin yalef besofa komitz rabba, because tefillin is derived at the end of the perek in Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis komitz rabba b'gzeira shava. So it's learned from a special drasha. Shebein einecha begova rosh, that the term bein einecha, which kipshuto means the forehead, was really on the hairy area. And what is the gzeira shava? Milosasimu karcha berosham. The Achronim explained that here also you have to correct the text, Milos Asima Korcha Bein Einechem, that the Torah jures us not to rip out hair as a result of a velus, and that's Barosham, or the actual text is Bein Einecha, and it's clearly not referring to literally between the eyes, and not to the forehead, because no hair there, so it's referring obviously to the area between the eyes, but higher up, where there's hair. Makom Seir, as Tosfos continues, in a place of hair. So tefillin is a place of hair. But concerning the tzitz, it doesn't directly state bein einecha in the Torah. It says meitzach. It was the Targum that translates bein einohi. So we don't know of a gzeira shava that connects that Targum, which or the word meitzach, to referring to the head. So it's not necessarily directly extendable from tefillin to the tzitz. So Tosis has a question on the Riva's assumption. Mekom mekom, Tosis now says that even if you're going to reject the Riva's pshat, afilo hayatzitz al meitzach mamish, that even if you assume that it was literally on the forehead, which is probably the most standard pshat on the Rishonim, mekom mekom, there was still a need to have the mitznefes be somewhat smaller than the mikbas, which is the basic premise of the Riva. Kol kol ha'yitzorech likshor ha'tzitz ve'atfilin me'achore rosho. The knot of the tefillin had to be in a hairy area, not on top of the mitznefes, but where the mitznefes wasn't. And the tzitz had tcheles strings that they were tied with on top of the kohen's head and knotted behind the kohen's head, also presumably in a place of hair, and not on the mitznefes. So therefore, Tos continues, v'yushneim dochim shamis ha-mitznefes. So in the back, they would push up the mitznefes, so once again, indicating that the mitznefes would be smaller than the mikvah. So basically, Tos is saying that even if you reject the Rava's premise that the reason the mitznefes was smaller is because the tzitz is actually on the head, and therefore had to push the mitznefes back, even if we say no, that the tzitz was actually on the forehead, but the Rava's basic idea that the mitznefes was smaller than the mikvah, and that's why there's different names, can be accepted because it minimally had to push it up in the back, which is something, of course, the Rava would agree to as well, except for the Rava was pushed from the front because of the tefillin and the tzitz, and from the back because of the knot of the tefillin, as well as the kesher, the knot of the tzitz with the strings of tcheles. According to the anti-Rava camp, it would still have to push it up from the back, so the mitznefes would still be small. So now, Tosis raises somewhat of a difficulty on the pshat of the Rava, and even Tosis' own pshat, that the mitznefes was at least somewhat smaller than the mikbas, according to the Rava, even doubly smaller, because it had to push from the front and the back. According to Tosis, somewhat smaller, because it pushed just from the back. But there seems to be Gemara and Yoma that directly contradicts that, and Tosis will resolve it. V'hadar mina perek rishon the Yoma, the feud base and the base, the vigdei kohen gadol, the Gemara, in that context, has a machlokis with Hatanoim as to whether or not the avnate, the sash that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjid wore, were they identical or not. The Kohen Gadol certainly had a colorful avnate, as described in Parashas Tetzaveh, of various colors of linen, of white, and treles, and argamon, and talashani. And the Kohen Hedjid, it said it had an avnate, but it doesn't say what it was, what color it was. So one opinion, which is the opinion of Rebbe, is that the Kohen Hedjot's avnate was similar to the Kohen Gadol's avnate, and they were both the multicolors. And Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, as well as Rabbi Dosa, maintained that the avnate of the Kohen Hedjid was white, linen alone, similar to the Kohen Gadol's avnate on Yom Kippur. So Tosis quotes that formulation of Rabbi Dosa, the big day Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim ksheirim l'Kohen Hedjid, that theoretically speaking, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, which were four garments of white, are kosher for Kohen Hedjid, because he also has four garments of white, again, assuming that the avnate was all bad, was all linen. So now Tosis says, wait a second, but avogav to b'big day lovon ksiv mitznefes. One of the four white garments that were the Kohen Gadol used on Yom Kippur to serve was a mitznefes, the hat of the Kohen Gadol. So if it's true that the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol is not the same as the mikbas of the Kohen Hedjid, so how could Rabbi Dosa maintain that the clothing of the Kohen Gadol would be kosher for the Kohen Hedjid, even if the avnate was the same, that it was all linen, but the hat, which was also linen, but it was not the same size. The mikbas was bigger than the mitznefes. So doesn't that contradict both the pshat of the Rava and Tosa's modified pshat, who also accepted the premise that the mikbas was somewhat bigger than the mitznefes? The Tosa's answers, again, avogav to vigdei lovon ksiv mitznefes. He answers, b'shar begadim ayri. When it says that the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the bigdei lovon of Yom Kippur, are kosher for the Kohen Hedjid, b'shar begadim ayri, it's referring to all the rest of the garments, including the avnate, which would be similar. Chutz min hametznefes. Somewhat of a dochic answer, but as Tosis suggested, it's not referring to the mitznefes in the mikbas. Maybe the basis of the answer is because that we know is different because they have different names. So therefore, it's not bothered by that gemara. I saw quoted in the name of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita in his running commentary on the Rambam in the Sefer Avoda called Derech Chochma, in Hilchas Klei Hamikdash, that it could be that b'di'eved the hats work in both cases. So that might be an additional answer here as to how the mitznefes technically would be kosher, at least on a b'di'eved level. So Tosis now has another kasha on this approach here, or at least another observation. Umiyu b'loshan ha-gemara ashkechan. So now Tosis has an observation that might negate the whole distinction between the mitznefes and the mikvas. Umiyu b'loshan ha-gemara ashkechan dekorim mitznefes le'ahi dekohen hedged. We find in the language of the Gemara that sometimes clearly the hat of the Kohen Hedged is not referred to as a mikvas, but as a mitznefes. Where do we have that? The Ramina Beperek Rishona, say in the Perek in Masech the Yoma, on the Chof Hamid Aleph, I believe the second Perek, Gabe Pius, when they used in the Mishnah Sinai, speaks about the lotteries that the Kohanim would have to do the various Avodos, Machlokas Rishonim, whether that's referring to the whole year, or perhaps even Yom Kippur, the Avodos that were not unique to Yom Kippur. So the way they did the lottery is they would pick some number, and each Kohen would put out a finger, according to Rambam, either one or two fingers, and then wherever the number landed, so he would be the Kohen to be picked for that particular Avoda. So how would they know where to start? Shenotel mitznafto shel echad mehem. One Kohen would take off his hat, and he would be the starting point. So how did it refer to the hat? Not as mikvato, but as nafto. So you see, if the Gemara wasn't some didactic to refer to it as mikvas, which at least slightly implies that there's no difference between those two hats. Old kasha, further difficult on the assumption that the mitznefes and mikvas are of different sizes. The lohaya tzitz b'yom kippur and b'vigdei lavan. There was no tzitz on Yom Kippur in the four garments of the Kohen Gadol that were white, made out of linen. The tzitz was golden. That was part of the eight garments, not part of the four garments. And there's no tefillin on Yom Kippur either. So then the Kohen Gadol should have been able to wear something like a mikbas. That could be the big size, because there's nothing blocking him from doing that. So then Tosfos continues, V'lama kari le mitznefes. So why does the Torah call the hat of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur mitznefes when it could have been small? That last kasha tells us now answers possibly v'shema afal pikein ha'isaktana kimitznefes shel kol hashana. So that even though on Yom Kippur the hat of the Kohen Gadol could theoretically have been as big as the mikvas, but the Torah didn't make changes here. That just like the whole year he had to wear a smaller hat called the mitznefes afal pikein. Nonetheless ha'isaktana kimitznefes shel kol hashana, that it was the same size as the mitznefes the whole year, in order to have the wardrobe of the Kohen Gadol be similar, at least with respect to those garments that were similar, on Yom Kippur. Taisvis, elsewhere, I think in Masech Yoma, answers the first kasha too, that Lashon Torah Lachud and Lashon Gemara Lachud. In the Torah, Mitznefes is the proper name for the hat of the Kohen Gadol, because it was actually smaller. Mikbas is the proper name for the hat of the Kohen Hedged, because it was actually bigger. In the language of the Gemara, they weren't so particular and even referred to the hat of the Kohen Hedged occasionally as a mitznefes. As an addendum to this Tosis, just to summarize some of the views of the other Rishonim on the topic. So Rashi and Chumash seems to directly state that the mikvas and the mitznefes are just two words for the same exact shape of hat. It's pointed out by Rashi in Parshat Tetzaveh when it talks about the mitznefes. So Rashi says that elsewhere it calls it a mikvas, even though it only calls it a mikvas in the context of the regular coin, the coin hedged. Rashi seems to directly imply, as pointed out by the Re'eim, Rabbi Yom Mizrahi and others, that they are identical. Other Rishonim accept the basic premise of Tosfos given by the Riva that they were different, but how they were different is not the idea of that the Kohen Gadol's hat was smaller and the Kohen Hedge's hat was somewhat bigger, but in terms of how it was wrapped. Rambam goes that way, that they started out with the same material, but the Kohen Gadol wrapped it one way and the Kohen Hedge wrapped it another way. The Ravid gives a third approach, that they're actually totally different hats. One was more like a turban, that of the Kohen Gadol, and one was more like what we would call a hat or a mitre. That was the hat of the Kohen Hedge.